B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, September 17th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Joe over at the news desk. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what your favorite SNES game is. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Gears of War 5 is officially out and seems to be doing pretty well. In fact, the game has hit over 3 million players on opening week. That makes Gears 5 the best performing first party title of the entire generation.
Wow.
Xbox. On PC, sales were triple that of Gears 4 on launch.
Hang on, isn't that a very weird statistic to be throwing out this late in a console's life cycle?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that they haven't had a first-party game that's performed this well until now. And that, again, I know the Gears community is very excited about this game coming up, but if I'm Microsoft, that's the sales are great, but that's not something I'm touting that we just now hit that type of mark.
Well, yeah, it's more, I think, of an indictment against the Xbox console than it is a milestone for Gears 5. Now,
we got to see a little bit of Gears 5 out at the Business Summit this year. I kind of enjoyed watching it. I feel like for the first time, a cover-based shooter kind of worked as an esport.
I wasn't convinced.
Really?
No.
What was it about it that wasn't convincing? I mean, I think that there's a lot of drawbacks to having a third-person cover shooter. Mm-hmm. We've seen third-person shooters be very competitive in the form of, you know, PUBG and Fortnite. What was it about specifically Gears of War 5 that didn't work?
I think if you're going to have the argument across schools and college campuses about stuff like CSGO not being allowed, then you definitely can't have something like Gears where people get blown to like bloody giblets all over the place. And on top of that, if you're within 5 feet of people, everybody's just flies all over the place
There. First of all, not every esport has to take place in college. Mortal Kombat 11 is doing great, and it's not on college campuses, is it? And as far as the third person, whatever, that's not necessarily a problem with the game. That's a problem in the way it's presented.
When Borderlands 3 was announced to be an Epic exclusive at launch, many people complained and vowed they would not be playing the game.
Liars!
If the sales figures are any indication, this was not the case. Borderlands 3 was revealed to have a launch day peak player count that is double the all-time high concurrent player count for Borderlands 2.
This is why nobody should take anything anyone says about this kind of stuff seriously.
Yeah, this is exactly why I don't listen to anyone who's calling for boycotts, because we know that it's just not going to happen. It's for the same reason that we're going to be stuck with microtransactions until people start spending their money elsewhere, right? Like,
that's just never going to happen.
I don't know that it's ever going to happen. We've unlocked that Pandora's box.
Right.
There's no putting the genie back in the bottle.
Now, as someone who has spent considerable amount of time now playing Borderlands 3, I'll say that if you weren't a fan of the series before, it's not doing anything new that's going to suddenly convince you. But if you do enjoy, or if you've never tried it before, Borderlands 3 is obviously the best of them. It takes everything that it does well and does it even better. Most notably, the gunplay. It feels so good that it's finally up to, like, it always kind of felt like it's its own thing compared to other first-person shooters. It finally feels where it's at a place now where it feels just as good as other first-person shooter games.
The one person that I saw that reviewed it and described it says that they took the contemptible personality of Claptrap and just kind of smeared it all across every character in the game.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that, but this is also a person who you said didn't like the other one, so I wouldn't expect anyone who didn't like the others to
If you don't like Claptrap, I think that there is a pretty safe argument that you're probably not going to like the rest of Borderlands.
It's an interesting one, because I don't think you're supposed to like Claptrap. He's supposed to be contemptible.
Star Wars director J.J. Abrams has inked a new deal with Warner Brothers for $250 million. The deal will see Abrams and his company, Bad Robot, continuing to develop movies for Warner Brothers throughout 2024. The deal also includes both TV shows and video games, however.
Cloverfield kaiju fighting video game. That's what I want.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm a fan of what Abrams does with Bad Robot. I was a big fan of, you know, Cloverfield and everything that they did with Lost. I just don't know how I feel about this because I don't know what Abrams has to offer to the video game space.
Yeah, I know he was working on a game called Spyjinx. I think was the title he was working on, but we haven't heard anything about it in like 2 years.
By the way, I hate that name.
Calling it right now, J.J. Abrams and. And your friend Mr. Cage, they're teaming up to do another
I disagree, but what you are going to start seeing is I want to see J.J. Abrams getting the video games. I want to see Hideo Kojima getting the movies. That's what I want to see.
Alright, great. Anthem has officially been added to EA's various subscription services. And Origin Access. Less than a year after release, the looter shooter from BioWare will look to find new life on the subscription platforms. It joins the services on the same day as Ukulele and Ultimate Chicken Horse.
To begin with. I told all of you.
Nobody argued.
I'm talking about them. I told all of them.
The
of you out there in the listener-verse, in the viewer space, that this game was dead on arrival. And all they've done is prove it to me time and time again.
There's a headline, Nate, that you were sharing around earlier about how there's scant details around about the future of Anthem. Well, of course there is, because they don't freaking exist.
Yeah, I don't know where this game is supposed to go from here at this point.
Death. No, it's
death.
Yeah. This is done.
Press F for Anthem, everyone. Press F for Anthem.
Pokemon Go is officially bringing the Unova region into the game. The fifth generation of Pokemon was originally explored in Black and White. With the Unova region officially added, we're now only missing the Kalos, Alola, and unreleased Galar regions.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
I guess, you know, like, it's probably time. You know, we wondered how long it would take them to catch up with the normal game.
Because that's what I remember back when the first generation was out and how long it took to get Gen 2. I was thinking it's going to take an eternity before they're finally
caught up. They seem to be plugging through them pretty quickly.
It's pretty much one a year now.
As somebody who's been out, do I just come back really quickly when they add all the decks, or do I just wait?
No, just when they add the particular Pokemon that you're looking for.
Yeah. Got it.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. Speaking of Pokemon, many of us first saw it as a cartoon way back in the 1990s. For those of us who watched it back then, or, you know, have any kids maybe watching the show, you may recall that the main character, Ash, had a rough time actually winning any Pokemon fight. He was the worst trainer ever.
He basically was the NYXL of Pokemon.
Oh, those are fight words.
He gets to the dance and then fails.
Yes.
But that has officially come to an end.
Yes.
I do not believe.
So
we have to congratulate Ash, the new champion of Pokemon,
in
the anime,
as reported by CNN.
Yes,
apparently.
Why? Like, I mean, it's mind blowing that it was reported by CNN. But yeah,
that you wake up in the morning, turn on like CNN News, and find out Ash finally won. So yes, he is the new champion after 2 decades of this anime going. By the way, I did not know it was 2 decades old. After 2 decades, he has finally become Pokemon League champion after winning the Alola region.
Oh, come on. That's not even a real league. The whole game is about...
You're right. They did away with gyms in the Alola region.
The whole story in the Alola League is that you're just now like starting up, quote-unquote, the league.
No. That is perfect for Ash Ketchum because he is the worst, most trash Pokemon trainer of all time.
I refuse to acknowledge it.
He has to relearn... No, Robbie, you shut your mouth. He has to relearn typing every new season. That's insane. That's the mark of a crazy person.
That's
you know,
true.
He may be on the champion stone now, but I do not recognize him as a champion.
I gotta tell you, how come his win had to come at the cost of the animation budget?
Oh, because it looks
what happened
trash.
To this show? This show looks awful now.
It really does.
And I mean, I'm sure, you know, we all go back and watch stuff from our childhoods and think, oh, this looks terrible.
No.
It definitely looked better than that.
You know
originally.
What, though?
What happened?
I do find it interesting seeing them bringing this up because it reminds me of when nerd stuff gets into the mainstream. Like, you guys remember when Captain America died in Civil War and real news reported on it?
Oh, yeah.
My grandma called me up and goes, did you know they killed Captain America? They can't do that.
While I don't remember that about Captain America, I do remember it about Superman. That was like mainstream news and conversation.
Yeah.
Death of Superman was a really big deal.
Yeah, it was. So I find it very funny and kind of cool that this was in real news. But you're right. It's the Alola region.
Here's what's interesting.
Does it even really count?
I've heard the rumor floating around that Ash's run is coming to an end.
It needs
that
to.
They're going to have a new trainer.
Please,
because theoretically Ash should be 29 right now.
No, this is like Ash being the champion of the Vietnam region of League of Legends.
Wow.
By the way, Fong Vu Buffalo did not qualify this year.
They didn't.
I'm heartbroken
crazy.
By that. I don't know how to feel about that.
That is sad. But I mean, like, honestly, you know, the idea, like, we don't need to follow Ash anymore. We have seen every adventure that he has. And personally, I just want a full Pokemon anime reboot that focuses only on female Scottish trainer. That's all I want.
Listen, let Ash go back to Cerulean City and settle down with Misty. And then.
Okay, that's a weird ship that I didn't need to hear from you, Joe.
Whatever.
That's not even a ship. That's obvious.
Whatever. So, to give a whole new season with the Galar region, all on Scottish female Pokemon trainer,
yes.
I'm in. I'm watching.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Would you watch an entire series based around Scottish female Pokemon trainer?
Yes.
Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers to find out what your all-time favorite SNES game is. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
We're getting a new book from Riot, and it's The Realms of Runeterra. We'll tell you about it.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, as well as 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa, one of our oldest affiliates. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP low team damage, and as we've seen on Twitter, the other identity. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. All right, now let's get the latest in esports news.
Gaming update with Joe Sloan.
Riot has announced a new product that will be releasing in November. It's a lore encyclopedia titled Realms of Runeterra, and it'll cover, fittingly enough, the 11 regions of Runeterra, the world that League of Legends takes place in. It'll chronicle everything from conflicts and battles to the politics and cities, right down to the flora and fauna of the world. The book is priced at $30 and will be available November the 5th.
Three things.
Do you guys remember when video games used to tell you a story and you didn't need a book to tell you the story of the video game you're playing?
First of all, but I also remember video games, still making books, even though they still told you the story in the game.
Yeah, it gave you more story for the people who were obsessed with it.
Well, there's enough people obsessed, apparently.
No, there's
eight
no
million
story.
People are playing it, and they want to know the story. But, Joe,
yes.
There is no accent marked Rune Terra, not Runa Terra.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, but people have said Runa Terra forever.
I don't care. It disobeys the laws of English. But I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to buy it the very first
you know,
day.
The laws of English. Yeah, because this language has laws.
Like you, Nate, I was actually ready to lambast these guys over this, but I do have to say that $30 for it is actually way cheaper than I thought
it's
it would be.
It's hella competitive.
Yeah. That's a pretty
I'll
reasonable price point. For a game that has for the longest time kind of said, like, listen, the lore is so hard to keep straight in this world because we have so many characters
didn't
joining it all the time.
Did they actually do, like, novels for a while centered around
it? They did. They've got comic books that have come out for them, but at some point they just said, well, you know what, we're kind of axing the whole lore aspect of this game because keeping it all straight
with
140 characters is impossible.
Yeah.
But they're going to try, apparently. Speaking of Riot, they've announced the celebration of their 10-year anniversary. League of Legends originally released on October 27th, 2009. The celebration will kick off on October 15th, featuring live streams, events, and reveals for the game's future. In fact, we've already gotten a look at the game's new logo.
They've only been 10 years? Seriously?
10 years? How long has
that's
been
a
around?
Long
yeah.
time, man.
No, it's not.
No, a long
I mean,
time for one game that
for
hasn't
one
had
game.
Sequels.
For one game, not for a developer. For one game, yes,
yeah.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's wild that a developer that was so recent is so revered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with the success that they've seen over the last 10 years, the continuing growth of the game. Usually 10 years in, your game is on the way out.
Right.
Not hitting its stride.
Yeah.
G2 Esports has been fined €1,000 by Riot following a mistake during an LEC broadcast. Apparently, for a short moment, G2 top laner Wonder was seen alt-tabbing onto World of Warcraft Classic.
Come on, buddy.
I love this for so many reasons.
G2 took it in stride, thanking Riot for giving them an excuse to justify uninstalling it off Wonder's PC.
Wow.
Wow. Yo, that is absolutely insane, especially considering how good G2 has been. They are so good
that they're playing
that they can
World
be
of Warcraft.
All-tabbed in WoW Classic
WoW
while
Classic's
being on
over
stage.
Here, like.
You won't get rid of me that easily.
Here's the thing. Like, I now do not feel bad for playing MMOs at work.
Right. Exactly.
That's exactly what he was
That's
doing.
That's literally what it is.
A new esports-themed hotel is open in Osaka. Build is the first of its kind. The hotel features gaming PCs in both the lobby and customers' rooms. It sports a high-tech aesthetic, but I gotta tell you, the design is a tad discombobulating.
The outside design is kind of cool. It looks a little bit like a flashy case.
I thought it looked like a PC tower.
It looked like a PC
That's
tower.
That's what it looks like to me, yeah.
Was that intentional?
I think it was.
I do like their mock-ups for like what the you know gaming rooms and stuff would look
like. What
the
lobby's gonna look like.
I hate the room design. It's horrible.
Yeah,
and white line. Yeah, it's hard to look at. I can't imagine trying to stay in a room that looks like that.
Yeah, that looks absolutely terrible.
By the way, if you want to see the pictures, visit our website, checkpointxp.com. We'll have a link to this article.
And you know they're still going to try and run it all off of hotel Wi-Fi anyway.
Oh, God. No, that is the one thing they have to get right. They have to have stable internet. The stream carrying North America's Season 8 Esports Championship Series had to be dropped over the weekend as police investigated a suspicious package.
Oh.
Team Liquid and E-United continued to play on as cast and crew were evacuated from the building. Don't worry, this portion of the tournament is online, so neither of the teams were in any danger. But the stream was picked up remotely, however, no commentary was available because, well, can't commentate remotely like that.
That is very concerning.
Yeah. It's concerning, it's depressing, whether it was a prank or someone was really, you know, they had real intent in their heart.
Yeah.
I think is to be debated a totally another day. But like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah. Police did say that there was no danger. They found no issues with the package. So good to know. Fortnite viewership on Twitch has dropped to the lowest it's been since the game's meteoric rise to popularity. The reason? Two of its biggest stars are gone. With Ninja now streaming on Mixer and Tfue in self-imposed exile, much of the star power around Fortnite has faded. The game is now struggling to get to 100,000 viewers, which, I mean, for what it's worth, That's still a ton of people.
No, and there's also the WoW Classic effect too. Let's not disregard that.
I mean, that's part of it, but I mean, like, we've theorized for a while that Fortnite was being propped up on the popularity of major streamers, and now we're really starting to see that effect.
I'll be interested to see how this affects the playership of it, not just viewers.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, we were looking at the viewership earlier today. The number one and number two games were League of Legends and World of Warcraft, respectively. Two games that combined are 25 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, is this just a new trend that we're going
to
see?
No, when it's good, it's good. Just like a good album, you'll continue to play some of them forever.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We've kept a close eye on the developing esports scene in Japan. We had hoped that when the Japanese Esports Union was formed, it would pave the way for esports to flourish in the country. And it seems like it's having the exact opposite effect.
Yes.
Called it.
So, unfortunately, this is centered around a player, Momochi, who has come up against some bad fortune as it pertains to this particular issue. So Jason was offering licenses out to the top 22 players in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
The last one he refused out of protest, because when you don't have a license for esports in Japan, your earnings gets capped.
To about $900.
To about $900 US, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Momochi is one of those players who did not take one of those licenses.
Yeah, he was offered
out of protest,
it,
by the way.
Out of protest.
He's protesting the idea that a government body can arbitrate who can and can't be an esports.
Exactly. That was his big argument. Now, he's gone out and won that big tournament that they had out in Tokyo Game Show. His prize was supposed to be around $46,000 US.
And he gets $900.
He gets about $900.
He actually took home less than that. He took home under $600.
Yeah, because tax.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, now he has the option. He could accept the license and take the money. However, he is choosing instead to
stick to his guns
on this one.
Listen,
he's not taking it.
It's a bold move, man. It's a bold move, especially in the face of a whole lot of money like that. A lot of people don't have the fortitude to stick by their guns like this. I have to applaud him.
Well, on top of that, you know, it is a interesting question, because of course we all applaud it, but I still think it is an interesting question to say, you know, is our government the most, you know, nuanced body to be able to, you know, govern who gets licenses for esports?
I have a question. Why does the government need to be involved with esports?
Because over there,
at all?
Over there, still a gambling type thing. Yeah, it's still a gambling issue. Now, recently,
wait a minute. Are competitors gambling? Because those seem like two very different issues.
But because they have, like, you know, the massive, like, pachinko industry and all that stuff.
Sure.
Gaming and video games in Japan fell under that sort of umbrella when you won money from digital games.
Right.
That it fell under the gambling laws. Now, that's how it was written.
This seems like something entirely different, though.
It would, I agree, but as the law stands, before JSU was formed, that is what video games fell under. Point blank, period.
And I don't think you're the only one that thinks so, too, because according to this Kotaku article, it says that a recent ruling shared by JSU that was translated by a separate party does indicate that licenses may no longer be required to receive money from tournaments for games that are free to play or that don't allow players to become stronger with money.
Okay, but again, this is a very odd distinction to put on there. That's an odd caveat to put on there, and I have to wonder what the Japanese government's interest in esports is.
Just to be fair, and I do want to make a correction, is that JSU is a body that is separate from the government. It's a body that has come together in order to arbitrate the new esports.
But it was
laws.
The government that mandated this.
They did get the okay from the Japanese government to form.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think esports players should be regulated by the government? Or is this just absolute insanity? Connect with us on social media. That That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what your favorite SNES game is in celebration of the virtual console that came to the Switch. Stick around. That conversation is at next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN 1520 in Buffalo, ESPN 1200 and 1440 in Syracuse, and ESPN 1310 and 1350 in Utica, Rome, New York. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. I don't know about you guys, but the only thing I have been playing in like the last 2 weeks, like consistently, has been the SNES Virtual Console. Yes. On my Switch.
Yes.
It is the greatest addition to the Switch. I've been playing Breath of Fire. I never liked Breath of Fire before
you do,
this.
You do now.
I do now. It's actually the perfect paced RPG to be on that console. It works.
So, and that got us to thinking, all you out there, what game would you love to play anywhere?
Yes.
On the SNES? What is the SNES
What is peak SNES to you?
Now, one thing that I will say is we did get some answers that didn't pertain to the SNES because some people weren't
didn't
around.
They don't know.
They didn't read.
They don't know.
We did also have one guy that literally said, 1998, baby, I've never played the SNES.
Oh, wow.
Well, then you're missing out. And what are you doing not having the virtual console on the Switch?
And especially on what I consider is the greatest console ever made. So therefore, for me, and it's a very, very interesting game that people don't expect me to say, but the one game I want is Kirby Superstar.
You always talk about Kirby. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
But that's the one Kirby game I need it in my life.
Okay, Norris.
It's that good.
For me, I mean, I know that I've been playing Breath of Fire, and I've never really been a big Breath of Fire fan, but like you get Chrono Trigger on there, and it's a wrap. Like that's the best game maybe ever made.
But I just feel like with something like Chrono Trigger, there's still money to be made.
Oh yeah.
So
no.
It's
way more likely that Square Enix will release it as its own game for like $9.99. Yeah.
Yep. $10. That sounds about right.
I'll go ahead and go next. Now, I actually grew up, I went from the NES to the Genesis to the PlayStation, so I never had an SNES myself.
Man, you missed out.
Probably on quite a bit, but if there was
The same thing though, and you know what? Still going back and comparing how much I loved my Genesis to how good the games are on SNES.
Oh, sure.
You can't deny the quality.
Right, but I just don't have a whole lot of experience with the SNES games.
Enough.
But one game that I always did like playing, but I had to play it at other people's houses, so I never really got that far into it, Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Super Mario World is actually the first game I ever played on Super Nintendo. I bought a Super Nintendo in like 2003 or something like that.
Yeah,
and that's
just
the game I got originally.
And guess what?
I love that game.
It's on the virtual console. Still brilliant.
It is.
I'm
playing through it right now, and I realized something, that I had never played it straight through front to back.
He had just watched somebody else play
Shut up, Robbie. What I did was I would hit a warp pipe and find a shortcut to the end of the game. I've never actually seen all of the Koopa Kid castles.
Yep.
So I'm going through on an actual tour of Koopa Super Koopa Mario Koopa Land.
That's probably honestly something that I could say for all the Mario games, whether they were whistles or tubes.
Joe, what about you?
So for me, you know, I had a Sega Genesis also. I didn't have a Super Nintendo. Going back, though, I was a big fan of Metroid. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Super Metroid is an all-time classic.
It's the gameplay is so refined on that. It just looks gorgeous. It sounds great. I mean, really, Nintendo outdid themselves with the collection that they had put out on the Virtual Console, and to know that that has the potential to grow over time is, I think, the most exciting part.
A Super Double Dragon.
Yes. All right. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We are going through our social media question. We ask you guys what your favorite SNES title of all time is to celebrate the Virtual Console on the Switch. So let's take a look at social media.
All right. From Nexian on Facebook, he says, Shadowrun. It wasn't the greatest RPG, but it was so different at the time. I would love to go back and play it again.
I didn't realize that Shadowrun went back that far, because I have like seven of them on my Steam account, and those games are great.
You know what I just realized? Ultima 7 was on the SNES.
It sure was.
I want Ultima on the Virtual Console.
Bradley on Facebook says, the Soul Blazer trilogy. I only played the second game, Illusions of Gaia. I would like to actually try the first and final game.
Yes, that would be amazing. And yes, Illusions of Gaia is a classic, classic RPG.
Davey says, Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars. One of the better games actually ever made.
But it's clear the SNES was around the heyday of the JRPG. So if you are a fan of JRPGs, you have a litany of titles on the SNES.
But, you know, it's even weirder than that, because, like, there were so many RPGs that they started to get real weird with it.
They did.
Like, there's a
Secret of Evermore.
There's one that's going to be making the jump over to U.S. shores, hopefully fairly soon, called Moon.
Oh, I just read about this.
It's billed as the anti-RPG, so you play a kid who's following in the hero's footsteps, breaking all or unbreaking all of the pots that he just broke, and like repopulating the world. It's kind of like a cool concept.
Interesting. Yeah. Melissa says Final Fantasy 3/6. It's my favorite. It never gets old. There's so much to do in it.
It's true.
It's good.
Classic.
Henry says
Henry's the one who couldn't read.
Henry says Super Mario 64, the first Smash Brothers. The first Mario Party, Spider-Man.
Okay. No.
Wouldn't you think the number 64 would let you know that this is not an SNES game?
That's why he straight up did not even read the thing, because it was in big letters, SNES.
There's a picture of an SNES in the tweet.
Actually, it's a picture of the Switch.
But still, I'm wrong. Can't play any of these games on the Switch either. So.
I'm wrong. Matt says Earthbound, since I never got to play it.
Oh, Earthbound.
There you go. Earthbound
is a classic.
By far.
You know what? Toe Jam and Earl was a Super Nintendo game, wasn't it?
No,
Was that Genesis?
Oh, okay. You know what was both of them, though, was Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
I need that
to show up on the Virtual Console.
You know, it's a weird game. I'd like Hook.
Hook? Yeah.
Hook on the SNES.
I very vaguely remember that.
The game of the movie?
Yes. Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
It was so hard.
It was.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah. I remember that it's a thing and I played it, but that's the most that I can pull out of my brain.
Yeah.
Andrew on Facebook says, Clock Tower, Beware the Scissorman. Yes, the first survival horror game.
Wait, that was also on SNES?
Clock Tower was the first one. Yeah.
Well, it was on the PC. It was a PC game. First, I just didn't know it got ported. Yeah.
There's also a PS1 game, I think, of it too.
All right, Enyo here on Twitter, the Biker Mice from Mars racing game, they've got the actual name. They made a racing game for that?
I think they did. I didn't know that.
What kind of travesty must that have been?
But I got a source one from the chat here. Is that Stank Buddha said Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
One of the best games for the SNES ever made.
Duke says Super Metroid agrees with me. Christopher says Uncharted Waters New Horizons. I don't know that one.
No, that's a new one to me.
Oh, here we go. Kevin on Twitter says SNES SimCity, please.
That's
the original SimCity stuff.
But why would you want to control it with a controller? I still don't understand that one.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Greg says Mega Man.
Any of them?
Just all of them, basically.
Oh,
sure.
Hold on. Here we go. Andrew says none. # Genesis for life.
Oh, come on. Really?
I understand that.
That's the hill you want to die on? You're still on the 1990s. seven console war or five console. Yeah.
You know what they could do?
Jeez.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Yes.
And Final Fight.
Guys, I would be okay with that.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't, okay?
All right, we're going to have to leave it on that classic line. But listen, we want to hear from you so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. Connect with us. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles and the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.